Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network, AFR. American Family Radio, we are on the World Wide Web. Maybe you've heard of that. We're on that, their internet, as Ed calls it, at afr.net. And Ed Battagliano, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
Walker Wildman, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good money.
Good money.
Is that,
money's on my mind.
Is that Australian or British African? What kind of accent was that exactly?
that was good money. Northeast Mississippi.
Oh.
So good Tuesday morning
good
is what
Tuesday
I was going to say.
Good Tuesday morning. Okay. What are you going to be doing today, Walker?
I'm going to be posting all the articles that we talk about on our Today's Issues Facebook page. And you can also go there and watch the show on Today's Issues Facebook
page. And who wouldn't want to do that, really?
Right.
See and, Fred Jackson,
and
former GQ model, who now works for us.
We pay him the big bucks to go on camera.
He had a prime. Yeah. Fred had a prime.
Oh, yeah. Man. And,
I was a model.
He was a model. And
he had a prime.
Was that bad?
That's,
we all have a prime,
hey,
Ed.
Let me tell you something.
Just because you're over your prime doesn't mean you're devalued as a person.
That is as sneaky an insult, I think, as I've ever
heard. Did I insult Fred?
Yeah. He had a prime once. Long, long
ago. Hey, by the way,
did
you ever, Fred Jackson, good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
Didn't
good
mean to
here.
Insult you there.
No problem.
I have to ask, by the way, to follow up on our conversation from yesterday, Ed, did we ever get to the bottom of what the color mauve is exactly?
Yes, and taupe. Mauve is more of a pinkish, in the pinkish range.
It's in the pinkish family?
In the pinkish family. Taupe is what I was thinking about, which is kind of the grayish putty family. But really, that is a little bit of a light green. We were calling the green room.
People can't see our green room. Our green room, for those who don't know the lingo for big-time radio people like us, you have a green room where you have your guest await before they appear on your show. And Jeremy Wiggins was in our green room yesterday, but it's not green. So
that's right. And there's no snacks there either.
I do have one other important thing to say, and I'll try not to say
more important than what we're talking about right now, Walker?
Way more important.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a texting service for our radio listeners.
We're serious right now.
Yeah, very serious. So if you would like to receive our texting alerts, we send them about once a week. You'll get our latest news from American Family Radio. You can text MYAFR to 41411. I'll post this on our Facebook page also. I talked to a fellow the other day. He called and he said, I keep texting this thing y'all keep telling me to text, and it's not working. I said, well, what are you texting? He said, I'm texting 41411 to my AFR. And so he was in the two box when you send it to, instead of typing in the phone number.
How do you help people like that, Walker?
Well,
this is someone your own age?
No, this is an older gentleman.
Were you able to help him?
I walked him through it. Yeah, and he said I'm pretty low tech. He said I'm on my iPad, but I'm pretty low tech.
Right.
I said, so you're low tech, but you've got an iPad. He said, yeah, I'm just a little slow on it. I said, well, if you got an iPad, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
So, anyways, we got it figured out. But
so this is just to be clear, this is a text that people can receive on their cell phone,
mm-hmm.
Once a week.
Right.
Typically, mm-hmm. And it has something to do with what we're doing here at AFR.
Correct. Maybe we went on the station in a new city.
Gotcha. So we're not gonna bombard you every day with your phone. Bing, 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 bing.
Yeah. Right.
Once a week.
Right.
Maybe twice at the most. You're gonna get something from us. It's gonna be relative to the work we do. So you're gonna be interested in it here.
Yes.
And it'll more than likely be during the day. So you don't have to worry if you're in bed at 10 o'clock or 10:30.
Right.
Getting like you said, Tim, a bing from
right.
AFR.
Yeah, we're gonna be very careful with this because we know signing up for text messages is a little more personal, and you have to be more careful with that. So we'll be responsible with it.
So how do you get it again?
You text MYAFR to 41411. MYAFR to 41411.
And you're going
to
put that information on our
Facebook
page. Today's Issues Facebook page?
Correct. Yes, sir.
By the way, I don't get bing, 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 because my phone's on silent all the time.
Is it?
Yeah, 5 years ago, I just said either I can keep it the sound on or I can go nuts. I decided to turn the sound off. So anyway. All right, Fred Jackson, what's happening in the news world?
As we speak here on American Family Radio, the Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch is undergoing his first day of aggressive questioning. Yesterday was the opening of the hearing. Everybody made their own statements, et cetera, but today he's facing the questions that we expected from the Democrats, of course. There would be a lot of tough questioning. And it really comes down to your worldview on what a justice should be. I mean, for the Democrats, it's about interpreting the Constitution to suit the day versus Republicans who believe, for the most part, in a strict constitutionalist, which is what one of the reasons why that President Trump chose Neil Gorsuch. But it's really interesting yesterday. I just want to go back for a few moments to yesterday's opening statements. In particular, one from Senator Dianne Feinstein, or Feinstein, depending what you want. But she is a well-known Democrat senator, senior senator, and she kind of laid it out. We're going to play a clip here so you understand where we're coming from and where she is coming from, the kind of justice she believes should be on the Supreme Court.
Judge Gorsuch has also stated that he believes judges should look to the original public meaning of the Constitution when they decide what a provision of the Constitution means. This is personal, but I find this originalist judicial philosophy to be really troubling. In essence, it means that judges and courts should evaluate our constitutional rights and privileges as they were understood in 1789. However, to do so would not only ignore the intent of the framers, that the Constitution would be a framework on which to build, but it severely limits the genius of what our Constitution upholds.
Oh, hogwash.
There was such truth there at the beginning.
Well, let me tell you, this is the primary misunderstanding between progressives and constitutionalists. Okay, what Dianne Feinstein was just saying is that if a judge wants to invent a right, they can do it. And what a strict constructionalist says, if you want to create a right, you amend the Constitution. That is the genius of the Founding Fathers. They did not say that in 2017 the country would look the same as it did in 1789. They wrote a document that contained such genius that if you could convince your fellow American that, for example, same-sex marriage should be a right in states and that should become the law of the land, then you convince them and they add that. You amend the Constitution and you add that right.
Right.
But what Dianne Feinstein was saying is exactly what secular progressive judges do. We know we can't convince the American people to change the way people view marriage, so we're going to ignore them.
Yes.
And we're going to do it ourselves. To me, that is a perfect description, which she just said, of why we're in the hot water we're in.
Well, then candidate Hillary Clinton said basically the same thing as Senator Feinstein said right there during the president. Remember the third debate between she and then candidate Donald Trump, now President Donald Trump? She basically said she wants Supreme Court justices and I guess other federal judges that she nominates to, how did she put it, understand the feelings of the American people. Or something.
The times we're in.
How the law impacted people. And
yeah. In other words, go with your feelings. Judges need to be empathetic with people and right wrongs. And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And President Trump, then candidate Trump, said, no, they need to look to the Constitution to interpret the Constitution, not go with their feelings. Mm-hmm. And so that's a big divide here. And so the fact that a senator like this would say that, what did she say, a constitutionalist or a strict constructionist, that bothered her?
Right.
that bothered her.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the, I don't understand why secular progressives don't understand that this is a two-edged sword that they're giving to judges. What if a judge decides, well, I think my feeling is we should go back to slavery.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm going to make a ruling on that. Then they would be crying, you know, foul, rightfully so. What a strict constructionist would say is, no, judge, you can't, because the Constitution says in the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment that you can't do that. So you, judge, have to be limited to that.
Again, yesterday we used as a prime example of this the federal judge in Hawaii who has blocked the temporary travel ban by President Trump, which we need to discuss this more a little bit later because this is an extremely serious matter, a constitutional crisis, if you will, and it's not being talked about because everything else is sucking the air out of the news or sucking the air out of the room in terms of the news of the day. But this judge in this federal judge, one federal judge in Hawaii, said that President Obama didn't like Muslims, and so that's the reason he's doing this. Animus, he called it, against Muslims. So this judge said, basically what he's saying is he's playing the part of a psychiatrist or a therapist or somebody sitting on a couch, and this judge is saying to President Trump, who's laying on the couch getting his psychological treatment, you have hate in your heart, and because of that, I'm going to stop you from using your constitutional authorities as President of the United States to impact immigration into this country. I mean, this judge has no authority to do what he did.
Right.
But again, back to our point here, our overall point, the federal judiciary is, in large part, out of control with secular, progressive, liberal, humanist, whatever you want to call them, unhinged from the Constitution judges. And Neil Gorsuch, who's appearing today before the Senate, is a strict constructionist. Now, how will he vote in the future? Who knows? We've all seen these guys who say they're conservative, play the part of a conservative, and then they get on the bench and they turn for some reason. You never see a liberal go conservative after they get on the Supreme Court, but you see a lot of conservatives go liberal on issues. I don't know why that is.
Human nature.
I guess they want to be accepted in the Washington, D.C. cocktail party circles. But Neil Gorsuch, the federal judge, who's now I will give Donald Trump, the president, credit. This gentleman, Neil Gorsuch, is as close to a perfect candidate as Donald Trump could have selected for this position, knowing what we know about his history and background.
It's amazing. I mean, whether you're a liberal or conservative, you can't help but liking this gentleman. He is a gentleman in every sense of the word. I mean, he's already faced questions this morning on the Second Amendment. And again, he says it is settled law. And basically to the points that, Senator Feinstein and others are trying to make, well, there's new things happening, there's new cases, that sort of thing. He said there's precedent. He says he believes in precedents that have been set and that it's up to our lawmakers to decide if they want to change the law. Mm-hmm. And to your point, Ed, the secular progressives just can't get over that hump at all.
Right.
You know, they want judges who are going to say, we don't care what the lawmakers did. We're just going to go ahead, steam ahead, because we believe times have changed. And to your point also, Senator Feinstein yesterday basically said, I'm looking for a judge who looks at the impact of the law on individuals. And again, that's up to legislatures to do.
Right.
That is not up to courts to do, because then all your decisions are based on feelings of the day.
Right. When will they vote on Judge Gorsuch?
Well, I understand from the Republicans that they would like to have this wrapped up, for the most part, the hearings this week. He will be confirmed one way or the other.
Right.
And but I think they would like him in place by the 10th of April.
That's pretty quick. Of course, it's been 6 weeks or so since his nomination was announced by the president.
Yep.
But would you say, and Walker coming on this, would you say this is a checked box for the president on fulfilling a campaign promise?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is something he said he was going to do. As we've talked about on this show, I think this was instrumental. This issue was instrumental in getting a lot of Christians to the polls because they wanted a conservative replacement for Antonin Scalia, who passed away 13 months ago, and they wanted a pro-life judge, and they are further concerned about the direction of the federal judiciary. So absolutely, this is a checkbox.
I would say the same thing because you had, leading up to this, right after President Trump was inaugurated, there was word circulating that he might pick a less conservative judge or one that maybe had some flawed rulings from a conservative, from a constitutional standpoint. But he proved himself to be true to his word by nominating Judge Gorsuch to the Supreme Court. And as Fred said, you listen to him speak and answer questions.
He's brilliant.
He's brilliant. Yeah, brilliant. He knows the Constitution, and he's a great – he's someone that you would want interpreting the Constitution.
You know, we'll move on from this issue, but I would just say this. If I were asked to go to Washington, we could streamline this process pretty quick. I could probably get a vote today. If I could be king of the Senate for the day, what I would say is Judge Gorsuch, you need to answer two questions and then we can vote. One is, do you believe in gay marriage? Yes or no? That's number one. And number two, do you believe in Roe versus Wade should be overturned? And if you can answer those two questions, we can vote right now and we go to lunch. Because that's all these people. That's all they're getting at.
Oh, you're talking about the Democrats?
Yeah. That's how. Yeah. That's they'll ask all kind of questions about
judicial philosophy.
And when you ruled on this, you ruled with the big corporations against the little guy. They'll introduce. You have racial overtones with that ruling and this, that, and the other. It's all about abortion and gay rights. Mm-hmm. But for the Democrats, that's their big things today.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we can get right down to it. Everybody already knows how they're going to vote anyway. And he will be confirmed because Republicans have a 52-48 margin. And they also have the vice president who cast a vote in the Senate should there be a tie. So there's virtually no chance of.
Can I make a prediction?
Yeah, make a prediction.
I think he'll get 60 votes. I think he'll get 60 votes. This may seem like a little bit of a tinfoil hat kind of thing.
It does to me.
I think Democrats will vote. He'll get 60 votes. I think they do not want this vote to go for Republicans to go nuclear, because then Republicans will go nuclear if Ruth Bader Ginsburg retires and someone comes up. I think they go, we're going to give you Gorsuch because he replaces Scalia. We're going to show that we're even-handed and bipartisan.
Yeah.
And then
are we talking about Chuck Schumer?
Yes, and this is my prediction. Okay.
All right. So then
when Ruth Bader Ginsburg or whoever the next one goes off, if it's a liberal, they'll say, okay, we gave you Gorsuch. We got to maintain the ideological balance on the court. We expect someone who we can vote for.
Okay.
That's what I'm predicting.
That might happen. Here's what I would do if I was Mitch McConnell. I would go nuclear now, get Gorsuch, and I'd go nuclear when Ginsburg retired or passed away. I'd go nuclear the whole time because you got to fight like the Democrats do because you know that the Democrats would not be a gentleman and cut a deal with the Republicans if it were vice versa because they play hardball.
Yeah.
And so
if the Democrats force the Republicans to go nuclear, they're guaranteeing nuclear for Republicans are so weak-kneed.
You are saying nuclear too much.
Nuclear.
I'm about to leave the room. You know, say it one more time. Everybody's going nuclear.
Radiation.
Huh?
At least we didn't say nuclear.
Nuclear. Did I say that?
No. That was George Bush.
But I think to Walker's point, Republicans get very frustrated when Democrats are in control because they play dirty ball all the time. I mean, let's face it. They went the nuclear option when they needed to. And how many federal judges did Obama get through?
Oh, wow.
It was a couple of hundred, wasn't it?
Well, I think he changed a third of the court.
Yeah. So that's what they did.
Well, what's your prediction, though, guys? What is your prediction? Do some Democrats vote – And do they get 60 votes for Gorsuch?
By the way, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. This is where Ed Battagliano handicaps the Supreme Court race.
It's like an ESPN show. Yeah, all right, what's your guess today on the game?
I think your scenario may very well play out. I can't see them getting 60 votes. I mean, the Democrat base is just going to go. I'm not going to say nuclear.
The Democrat base
is going to go ballistic if any Democrat votes for this man. I would expect it probably to be along party lines, with maybe the senator from West Virginia, Manchin. I think he may cross over.
But that's going nuclear, though, right?
Yeah, it is.
That's going nuclear. Yeah, if you don't get 60 votes.
The Democrats are just so divisive. I mean, you talk about funding. You talk about funding the VA, and the Republicans want to give $999 billion, and you know, and the Democrats want $1 trillion. And so it's there, and they can't compromise at all. And so I think it would be very surprising if any Democrat voted for the strict constructionist constitutionalist.
What do you think? Yeah. So let's got these.
I'm just going back to what Senator Schumer said the other day. I mean, he is in the mode that they're going to fight any nominee. That's just the way he is as the leading senator for the Democrats. So I think initially. We were contemplating the strategy for 2018 because there are a lot of Democratic senators who are up for re-election, and they would go soft on this one so they can go home and say, look, we worked with the Republicans.
Yeah,
I'm just not so sure anymore given the toxic climate that we have seen over the last couple of months in Washington, D.C., whether that theory holds up anymore.
All right. Well, we'll see whether I'm called Tinfoil Eddie.
So
after
what
this
happens?
Week.
What happens if you're right? Do we owe you lunch or anything?
No. Yeah, like I could get you guys to buy me lunch.
We'll all wear tinfoil hats in honor of Ed. We'll do. It's going to be interesting. He will pass. He will be Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch in a matter of weeks, for the reasons we've described here. But then you will see what happens. He will replace Scalia, who passed away last year, and it should be an ideological wash in the Supreme Court. Then, as Ed said, the next one will be should Justice Ginsburg retires or passes on, then or somebody else a liberal on the court, Breyer.
Right.
Then. Mm-hmm. Then the Democrats are going to they may be hoping, well, let's make it 2 years. Best case scenario for Democrats would be 2 years from now during the midterms, they regain control of the Senate. But the chances of that happening are highly unlikely because they've got so many more sitting senators at risk than do the Republicans 2 years from now in the midterms. So.
Well, President Trump has made very clear during this campaign he was only going to nominate strict constructionists.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking that if Justice Ginsburg, let's just say retires, would be nice. She retires and goes to play golf or whatever. That then you're going to have a world war.
Yeah.
In the Senate over a conservative replacement for Justice Ginsburg. Oh my gosh!
Well, so much at stake. Mm.
Yeah, it would. You're right. World war.
Yeah.
In Washington. So maybe they're saving their. I think all the Democrats, with the exception of the senator from West Virginia, will vote against. But they may not make it a big brouhaha.
Yeah.
You know, they may not. But we'll see what happens. They don't have the numbers to stop the Republicans on this one. So the president should. Be able to get his nominee passed. We shall return momentarily. Congressman Greg Harper from Mississippi will be on with us for a few minutes after the break. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Steve Tiber of 8 Days of Hope.
You know, God has allowed us to go all over the country to serve as 8 Days of Hope, pretty much from coast to coast. Very simply, we do it because God commands us to love others.
We'll also hear from Dr. Alex McFarland, as well as news and analysis from Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl.
All that and more on the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Whoa, we have not had a response like this before. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We've been doing these spiritual heritage tours for like 20 years. We're sold out for June already, if you can believe that. We've got space left on our September tours of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon, and then Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. We call them spiritual heritage tours, and I don't know how long these September seats will last. To what do you attribute that to, someone might ask? Maybe it's the fact that we have a new person occupying the White House. Maybe that has something to do with it. But in any event, we welcome you to come with us on our September Spiritual Heritage Tour of Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon and Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown. Those are two separate trips. You can do both, or you can do one or the other. We'd love to have you. Go to spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next. Liberty University's in the business of training champions for Christ, the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 500 programs of study, along with an online degree program designed for thousands of active duty and military veterans. Beyond the classroom, students meet together weekly for worship and to hear from some of the nation's leading experts in the arts, politics, and business. Liberty University, committed to academic excellence with a Christian worldview. Graduation time is just around the corner, and in Setauket, Long Island, there's a bit of controversy over graduation gowns. For as far back as anyone can remember, the boys wore green gowns and the girls wore gold. But LGBT activists pitched a fit, calling the color segregation archaic and demanding a more inclusive fashion option. So this year, the graduating class will all wear the same color gowns. Students are furious. Around 100 walked out of class in protest. Some 900 citizens signed a petition urging the school to reconsider. But school leaders are not changing their minds. They say the decision to use gender-neutral gowns is progressive and inclusive. And once again, it demonstrates that everyone, every single person in America, and every single person in Setauket, Long Island, must conform to the LGBT way. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, one of the big campaign themes for President Trump when he was candidate Trump was repeal and replace Obamacare, because, as he said during the campaign, it was collapsing of its own weight, catastrophe, a disaster. What other words does President Trump like to use to describe?
Well, he likes great and huge, but he didn't describe.
He didn't know.
Yeah,
but he was right, and most all Americans know it that Obamacare was failing. But what to replace it with? How to repeal it and all that? After it's kind of like the dog chasing the car. You know, bark, 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 bark. Well, the dog finally catches the car. Now what? You know, well, the Republicans caught the car. And now they have to figure out what to do with Obamacare, how to repeal and replace. And so Congressman, Speaker of the House Paul Ryan and President Donald Trump have come up with something that they are promoting, which will be voted on later. And joining us to talk about this is Congressman Greg Harper from Mississippi. Good morning, Congressman.
Hey, guys. How's everybody doing today?
Doing well. How are you?
Good, good. Well, it's good to talk to you. And actually, it may be more appropriate to say that the Republicans feel like they call it the parked car.
The parked car. The parked car. Where do you stand on this? I know there's some division in the Republican ranks. President Trump and Speaker Ryan are on one side. I guess Rand Paul, the senator from Kentucky, and some others are on the other side. They say this is not good enough. Where do you stand on this?
Yeah, I'm a strong yes on voting for this. And as President Trump would say, this vote Thursday night will be huge. Look, it's the opposition to it has been diminishing over the course of the last week. And a lot of that has to do with, I think, that the leadership has listened to some of the complaints and some of the concerns that were there and how they can be addressed and to make the bill better. And there still will probably be a couple of new additions to it. But one thing that's important to me is National Right to Life has come out now and key voted this as a yes vote, because there are two really good pro-life gains that I think are worth mentioning. One is it's going to do a one-year mandatory or restriction of mandatory spending that helps Planned Parenthood. So they're locked out for a year. That money instead will go to help community health centers for women's health care and other issues. And the other is there's a prohibition against the tax credit that could be used to say that it cannot be used in any way for abortion. So those are important gains, strong enough that National Right to Life came out and key voted it as a yes vote.
Congressman, are you saying that the half a billion dollars that goes to has traditionally gone to Planned Parenthood won't be going to them next year? If this passes?
That's my understanding, is that the way that it exists now is that Planned Parenthood will not get their money that they normally would have gotten for 1 year. Now, that means that's 1 year. I understand that's not a permanent ban, but it at least gives us a chance to find out that they didn't end their business. Look, they make a lot of money off of abortions. Last year they performed over 330,000 abortions. Mm. And the president had talked to them, said, if you'll stop doing abortions, we'll keep letting you get that money. And mm-hmm. they refused. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a significant item for us to show that women's health care will do better with that money going to community health centers as opposed to Planned Parenthood.
Congressman Harper, I'm wondering why it's just a 1 year. Why that almost sounds like a temporary ban. How come it's not permanent?
I agree. Part of this, a lot of this has to do with the fact that the vehicle here is budget reconciliation. It's a different mm-hmm. creature than what we would, want if we were doing just standalone legislation. But look, I'd like to have a permanent, complete ban on any federal funding for Planned Parenthood. But I'll take a year and then figure out where to go the next year. And we'll take some steps along that route that will help us, I believe, when we come to protecting the unborn child.
We're talking to Congressman Greg Harper from Mississippi about the repeal and replace Obamacare vote that will come up. What's the name of the new bill?
The new bill is the American Health Care Act. And look, there's some things here that I think that they looked at that were of concern to a number of us that they've addressed. One is, for my home state of Mississippi, we didn't expand Medicaid. Our governor made, I think, a fiscally conservative decision not to do that. There are 19 states that didn't expand. And what the concern was is when you did this new bill is that some states that hadn't might be tempted to try to game the system and go ahead and do the expansion at the last minute. Well, this bill now says that no new states can expand that haven't already done so with an effective date of March 1. So that means nobody can come in and become an expansion state that hadn't already previously done that. I kind of like what they've done here. I would have preferred there be a mandatory work requirement. It's an optional work requirement, but here's the thing that gives the incentive. If those states that will do the work requirement for able-bodied population, then what would happen there is they'll get a little bit more money on their FMAP. So they'll get like a 5% bump there that would encourage them if you do this work requirement, which ultimately will get people off those Medicaid rolls, and mm-hmm. that's very important. I believe these issues are being addressed properly. The block grant issue for the states to have control over their Medicaid population and disbursement, I think, is going to be important as well. And guys, look, politically, and I think President Trump, who just spoke to us about 2 hours ago, gave a speech to the remarks to the Republicans in the House. He said, we've got to do this. He said the consequences if we don't repeal and replace with this bill are going to be, it's going to stop us from doing tax reform and other things that we need to take place of. But I wish everybody could have been in the room to hear President Trump this morning. He was encouraging. He gave us really a lot of inspiration. But, you know, when you get him in the room, he's about as funny as anybody you're going to run across, you know, too. And so he challenged a few members that have said they weren't going to support it and said, I believe you're going to be able to get there. And so at the end of the day, we'll have this vote Thursday evening, probably, I'm guessing, around 7 o'clock. Thursday night is the kind of the projected time. And at this point, while there's still some, you know, some folks that have not gotten on board, there were some that I heard today that had previously said they were opposed that are satisfied enough with the manager's amendment and particularly with the pro-life gain that they're now saying they're going to vote for it.
Yeah, you got about 3 or 4 minutes left with us. You can spend with us.
Yes, sir. Okay. I'm with you.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead, Fred.
I'm not going to you. Tell me I'm cut off.
Okay. Go ahead, Fred.
Congressman Harper, Fred Jackson here.
Yeah, Fred. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you again. So the president this morning, I'm told, in his behind-closed-door meeting with you folks, said, you know, some of you guys are going to lose your job if you don't support this. But also, let's say you get it passed on the vote on Thursday night. You still got some senators, Republican senators, that are still, you know, Rand Paul for one of them. I think Collins out of Maine and the senator from Alaska, they've already said. So you've got, I mean, we know what the numbers
they've
are.
They've already said what?
They've already said they're not going to support it unless they get significant changes. To explain to our listeners a little bit about the importance that Senator Paul sees in a standalone vote on repeal and then move on. I've never quite understood why he wants to break that up.
Well, first of all, you're just not going to be able to get there on budget reconciliation to do that. I think he knows that. But let's not keep in mind that the president is about as smart a person as I've ever run across. And so he's worried about Rand Paul. He knows he needs him on board. And where was he last night? He's in Louisville, Kentucky, with 25,000 people jammed in an arena and an estimated probably another 10,000 to 15,000 outside that couldn't get in. Mm-hmm. And they were all pro-Trump, and Trump is pushing this. The president's full support is behind it. And look, all I can worry about for the House is that we take care of getting the best bill that we can with these manager's amendments that protect our pro-life gains and do some other things that are fiscally responsible. And let's get it out of the House. Then it's going to go to the Senate. They may tweak it a little bit. I can't tell you how that vote will go down. I think at the end of the day, some of those senators are going to be hard-pressed to oppose this, particularly some of the Democrats that are in states that he carried by significant margins that are up for re-election in 2018. I don't think we're going to get a Democratic vote, but at the end of the day, I think we can get to 50 on the Republican side. Pence, of course, could break a 50-50 vote and get it done. The real rub here, guys, is going to be when Judge Gorsuch is confirmation vote comes up. There's a lot of Democrats that are not going to be able to really fail to support him and vote for him. And I wouldn't be surprised if we got 60 votes with some Democratic support, which is, you know, if we think of nothing else in this election, the fact that we're going to get a Supreme Court appointment makes it all worthwhile.
Right. It was that's the number one reason Christians voted for
absolutely
President Trump, 80 to 20, I think. Well, this puts Congressman Harper in company with one Ed Battagliano over
That's
here.
Congressman, I made the prediction.
I'm in good company this night.
I said that I thought that Gorsuch would get 60 votes simply because I think the Democrats don't want the Senate Republicans to go nuclear on a nominee to replace Antonin Scalia. Because that sets the stage if one of the liberal members of the Supreme Court retires. So anyway, you are with me, and they all said I was wearing a tinfoil hat. So I don't know. I don't know what that says about you.
As long as we're watching out for the microwaves, we're okay.
That's right.
So look, we're in good shape. I think that's a great analysis there because he's not. There's nothing they can find that's objectionable on him. I think they would rather pass him on 60, save their powder for the next one in case it's, you know, one that they really just don't want to go further upside down.
Hey, one other question I have for you, Congressman Harper. Do you guys, Republicans in the House, I know you have your, you know, as long as you have human beings, you're going to have divisions even within parties.
Sure.
But for the most part, do you guys find yourself pinching yourself because, you know, things that you can get accomplished with a Republican president, a Republican House, a Republican Senate, that for 8 years you had to, go ahead.
It was a lonely 8 years, let me tell you, when you knew that it was almost impossible to get anything, signed into law that was good. And last term, I would say particularly was far and away the worst and the most oppressive.
You mean the last 2 years of the Obama administration?
The last 2 years were just the worst of the eight, in my opinion, because the way they were rolling out the regulations, they were doing things with impunity. But I have to tell you that this year, it's Christmas every day, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's, it is unbelievable. Even though the news is going to report that there are little, battles, or Republicans are not getting along, and you're going to have some of that. But all in all, the fact that we've got a Republican president that's setting an agenda, and there were concerns, but Mike Pence is phenomenal. And look, he has assembled, I think, what will turn out to be the most conservative cabinet in our history. It's a great list of people, from Tom Price to, Mick Mulvaney's doing a really amazing job as the OMB director. I mean, you go down the list, he's put a great, Mike Pompeo, the new CIA director, is one of my favorites who served here in the House. So he's put an amazing team, and it should have already been fully in place, and the Senate Democrats could not do nothing but obstruct. That's all they try to do.
Yeah. Congressman Greg Harper, our guest. Congressman, thank you so much for your time, and we'll watch with interest the vote. You said it's going to take place when?
We think Thursday evening about 7 o'clock Eastern is the general time that we're expecting now.
And do you want to forecast the vote total in the House for?
Yeah, I'm going to go. I think we're going to get to 225.
225 of how many?
225. Yeah, if I'm right, that and $5 will get me a small cup of coffee.
Thank you, Congressman. Appreciate it very much.
Guys. Take care. Enjoyed it. Bye.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
That's Congressman Greg Harper of Mississippi talking about, President Trump, more than anybody else, is putting his credibility on the line with the people who voted for him on this. Some people are saying, well, he's just being pushed around by Speaker Ryan on this Obamacare, what do they call it? What's a new one called?
They call it Obamacare Light.
The American Healthcare Act? Healthcare Act?
Yes, American Healthcare Act.
But he's putting his, what I'm saying to you is, to us here is, President Trump is willing to put his credibility on the line here. I personally don't think he's being, quote, pushed around. President Trump is not pushed around by anybody except the Russians. other than the Russians, nobody pushes him around. So I would say, I'm just kidding. I would say that he is in agreement with Speaker Ryan. I don't think Speaker Ryan is pushing him around. Mm-hmm. So I think they're both putting themselves
right
out there. Go ahead.
Yeah, Congressman Harper said something interesting there. You talk about Donald Trump is not pushed around by anybody. He went to Louisville, Kentucky last night.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Did you hear that?
I wonder why he went there.
Did you hear the numbers? 25,000 inside.
Yeah, he was saying that, maybe.
15,000 outside. Do you know that Senator Rand Paul had to be taken note of that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I did not think about that till Congressman Harper mentioned it, that it was in Kentucky. Because
yes.
I was doing the same thing. I was saying, why Kentucky? What's
it? Right. But that was the reason.
As Dad said, it is a gamble in a sense to pass something that's so big and affects so many people and has been so controversial. It's kind of risky because it could be either really good or really bad when it comes to how it affects the American people. But I think this is a step they need to take and almost a gamble they need to take, because we have seen 8 years of no productivity when it comes to this issue. The Republicans have been saying we're going to repeal and replace Obamacare over and over and over again, but yet they haven't done it. And finally, they have the chance to, and so I think it's going to be a relief, because I'm honestly tired of hearing them say we're going to repeal and replace Obamacare, just give us a little while, et cetera, or the whole this is a complicated issue, yada, yada, yada.
Well,
I think it's good that they're actually going to do it.
If they're wrong, if President Trump and Speaker Ryan and the Republicans are wrong, the vast majority of Republicans, it looks like, then they'll pay the price for it.
Right. That's what I think. I mean, because I'll be honest, we talked about this a little bit during the break. I've been reading up on this issue, and frankly, I don't understand who's telling the truth. This is very complicated. Mm-hmm. And so this is
How long did you read on this?
I've been reading for a week and a half, just articles just as they've been talking about it, mm-hmm. trying to figure out, you know, what the sticking points are. So this is what I say. This is a representative democracy. We send representatives and senators to Washington, D.C. to represent us. So you got these men and women spend all their time doing this.
Right.
You'd better pass something. After it's passed, if I start hearing that they compromise here, compromise yeah. there, I'm going to be going, okay, well, then you didn't represent me because right. that's not what we sent you up there for.
Yeah.
I'm voting for somebody else. And yeah. I just think that's the way a representative democracy works. I don't have time to read all these bills and Mike Young. Yeah, and then, you know, look at all the, you know, the different
I was pleased to hear about the pro-life provisions, though.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, Sandy Rios is with us. Sandy joins us each Tuesday that she's available to talk to us. Sandy's heard each weekday morning on AFR, Sandy Rios in the Morning. What a name of a show. I think I came up with that, actually. Sandy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tim.
Well, you're probably opposed to the Trump Ryan replacement, aren't you?
Probably. Yeah, I was just thinking you probably don't want to talk to me this morning. But I do think. I'll tell you why. I think the Freedom Caucus are the true blue representatives of what we said we wanted when it came to repealing Obamacare. It isn't what's being proposed now, and I think it's going to be devastating, to be honest with you.
What's going to be devastating?
Tim, they are creating another, it's Obamacare Lite. It is going to cost us enormous amounts of money. They're trying to find a way to provide health insurance for everyone.
Well, then that's on Trump and Ryan then, if it fails like you're predicting.
But it's going to be on Americans too.
Yeah.
It's going to be on Americans too. It's not going to change.
What if it doesn't? What if it works?
It won't work, Tim. We're $20 trillion in debt and more than that. We can't add another massive entitlement. We are not a socialist country. We are not Great Britain. We are not Sweden.
Yeah,
and
but
so,
Sandy, but there's only like 40 members in the conservative caucus, aren't there?
Freedom Caucus.
Yeah,
Freedom
but they caucus. Can stop. That 40 can stop it.
Yeah.
But in terms
of getting something done, do we just need more conservatives, conservative Republicans? I mean, you see what I'm saying?
Well, okay. Well, yes, we do. And see, all right, to give you the history on this, Ryan and the leadership, including John Boehner before him, did a systematic effort to get rid of conservatives, and they've been very successful. They would go into various districts, and they would run someone who was not conservative, but he would use the conservative talking points, like, we're going to do away with President Obama's executive orders on immigration. First thing we do, we're going to go in there, or they would talk about building a wall, or they're pro-life, or what they would always run as conservatives. And then, but what they did was they made bargains with leadership. And when they got to Washington, they weren't conservative at all. So that's why we only have really 30 hardcore, from my perspective, conservatives in the House, really, really slugging. These guys like Mark Meadows and Dave Brad and others, they're really putting their necks on the line. They know that. And they're the ones that supported Donald Trump in the primaries. They went way out for him. It wasn't Paul Ryan, who would not even campaign with him up to the last few months, distance himself, said, I wouldn't do, what did he say exactly? It was just an amazing statement in the last like 30 days of the campaign. So Donald Trump is aligning himself with a leadership that has no loyalty to him. And by the way, this leadership is running ads against the Freedom Caucus members, the True Blue, great guys that you guys would love because they're the guys really fighting for us. They're running ads in their district using money accumulated by Karl Rove and former Boehner staffers.
Sandy,
that's what's happening.
Sandy, this is Walker. Let me ask you this. It seems as though for the past few years, even with John Boehner and now with Speaker Ryan, conservatives are essentially babysitting the leadership, politically in a sense, because we watch out for them because we don't want them to make bad decisions. Like you're painting this new healthcare bill as that will eventually be a bad decision. It will hurt Americans, and it will look bad on the Republicans years down the road. Isn't it almost time to let leadership, step off the cliff, so to speak, and mess up so we can get them elected out and get new leadership?
But Walker, you'd think so, but you have to remember that when they step off the cliff, they take the rest of us with them. And there's so much at stake with healthcare. This is very personal. Look what's happened with Obamacare. Look how people have suffered. Look how their premiums have gone up. Look how they can't, yes, they're technically covered, but they can't get medical care. People have extraordinary illnesses. They have to pay out-of-pocket expenses that are just beyond the pale. And so the idea was to repeal Obamacare totally. And Fred, I think I heard you ask before I was on with you guys, you asked the question about why it's wrong to have a repeal and replace at the same time. The reason this got confusing was because the House and the Senate passed a really good repeal bill when Obama was president. Mm-hmm. They passed it in both houses. They sent it to him. He would not sign it. It was a really good bill. It actually did repeal Obamacare. This bill does not repeal Obamacare. It keeps strategic parts of it. It keeps bad parts of it. And so it's not repeal. And the reason that conservatives were asking for it to be separated was because we can all agree on the repeal, so let's get rid of it. But the leadership doesn't want to repeal it. They don't want to get rid of some of the taxes. They want to keep some of the revenue. They want to play with it. And so that's the issue.
Well, I'm depressed then.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Listen, well, that's why I said you don't.
Sandy, I would just say, and I love you, and I'm not disagreeing.
I love you back.
I'm not disagreeing with you, with what some of the things or what you say. I'm just saying it's always something.
Yes.
With you have a very sinister view of, there's never seems to be any. I mean, I would just say it's on Trump and Ryan and the people who vote for this. Mm-hmm. And if they don't succeed, then they don't deserve to be voted
back
in.
Well, and let me just add.
And I don't know what the average person out here doesn't. Ed's been reading on this in a week and a half, and he's
Tim.
Yeah,
if they get this thing through, and the House Freedom Caucus, who are really the men trying to do what's right, they will go out and defeat them, and then we won't have hardly any conservatives left in Congress.
Here's the thing, and we're almost out of time, and we probably need to dedicate more time to this.
Let's sing a happy song.
But if let's say the Freedom Caucus succeeds, then and they block this, then Obamacare lives. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but Obamacare is going to die on its own. That wouldn't be such a bad backup.
But it's going to take everybody with us. That's what we're talking about.
No. Obamacare
and we won't get Planned Parenthood.
No, Obamacare. Oh, listen, that is a ruse. Oh, I've only got 3 minutes here. But, it's not. Obamacare is going to die. We'll be all glad for that. And if the Freedom Caucus should stop the vote tomorrow, the next step is for them to repeal it. Just repeal it. That's what they need to do. They could vote to repeal it. That's keeping the campaign promise, and it's important. And then they can work on a replacement plan, but not keeping large swaths of Obamacare, painting over it, and sort of morphing it into something that will be arguably just as bad. I'll tell you, for instance, Tim, in terms of the right now, instead of getting tax credits, you're going to be charged by the insurance company huge penalties if you don't continue your insurance for 60 days straight. So the insurance companies are making a boondoggle. They're the ones that are paying for Karl Rove's ads against the Freedom Caucus. Yes, I am cynical because sometimes you know too much. I guess I'm one of those persons. So I just think we have to fight it, and I'm behind the Freedom Caucus 100%. So that's it.
Thanks, Sandy.
You're welcome.
All right, Sandy Rios joining us there.
It seems as though we've been telling leadership, you don't need to do this, you don't need to do that, this is a bad decision. We've been doing this for years.
I know, it's always up
we
to us.
We did it with John Boehner.
It's always up to us to save them from themselves.
I'm just saying, let them go off the cliff. And then we can stay back and point
and
say we told y'all so.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back after the news. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.